Well, we're about ready to get underway with another New York Mets game presented by the Brewers of Rheingold Extra Dry. Rheingold, your host on these broadcasts and telecasts for the third consecutive year, and we surely hope you enjoy them. One great way to enjoy a ball game is with a refreshing glass of fine beer. And in these parts, everywhere along the Rheingold beach, when people think of fine beer, they think of Rheingold Extra Dry. Rheingold is as good to your taste as it is to your thirst because it's brewed extra dry. Smoother, crisper, livelier, completely thirst-quenching. Brewed by people who love beer, for people who love beer. Brewed to be as good to your taste as it is to your thirst, Rheingold after Rheingold. So wherever you are along the Rheingold beach, pour yourself a tall, cool Rheingold Extra Dry. Well, plenty of action in Major League Baseball today, all doubleheaders with the exception of one. Phillies defeated the Dodgers 5-1. Winning pitcher was Dennis Bennett, the losing pitcher Larry Miller. In the second ball game, the Dodgers lead 3-1. After four innings, Pete Rickard going for LA and Bobby Shantz relieving Rick Wise for the Phillies. In the first of two, San Francisco defeated Pittsburgh 6-4. Now the New York Mets are taking the field. Winning pitcher in that first game for San Francisco, Perry, mazed the Bain and Kameni home runs. In the second ball game, a 2-2 tie after 1.5. Ron Herbo pitching for the Giants, Don Flaw for the Pirates. In the first of two, Milwaukee, 10, the Chicago Cubs, 6 at the end of 7.5 inning. Kiefenauer, the fifth pitcher used by Milwaukee, now pitching in the ninth. Gregory, fifth pitcher used by the Cubs, also in the ballgame. He came in the game in the eighth. Williams, Menke, Burton. Menke again and Burton again, home runs. Williams is 30th. And Cincinnati tied up with St. Louis by scoring a run the top of the ninth inning, and the score now 2-2 with the Cardinals batting in the bottom half of the ninth. Duren pitching for Cincinnati now in place of Henry, who relieved Ellis, who relieved O'Toole. Gibson has gone all the way for the Cardinals. In the American League, Yankees defeated Minnesota in the first of their day-night doubleheader, 5-4 in 11 innings. The winning pitcher was Renup, and the losing pitcher was Worthington. Kubek, Maris, and Allison home runs in the ballgame. Washington defeated Chicago 3-0. Daniels pitching a five-hitter. Herbert, the losing pitcher. In the second ballgame, they lead 3-0 after 2.5. Bauman relieving Talbot for Chicago. Sent out going so far all through the ballgame. Washington 3, Chicago nothing after 2.5 in the second. Cleveland defeated Detroit 7-2. McDowell, the winning pitcher, the losing pitcher, McLean, held a home run in the fourth with a man on. And Baltimore playing at Kansas City. Orioles lead 2-1 after 4.5 innings. Bunker pitching for the Orioles. Pena going for the Athletics. Matthews, a home run in the second for Kansas City with no one on. Boston scheduled on the coast for a twilight doubleheader. They'll be playing the Los Angeles Angels. Well, that's the way the scoreboard reads, and now we're all set to go here for the second game at Shea Stadium. First game won by the Mets, 7-5. Winning pitcher was Al Jackson in the 10th, when the losing pitcher, the starter, Hal Brown, was recognized 2-15. First man up in the game will be Eddie Castro. Eddie, a right-hand batter, batting 244. He had two hits and five times up in the first ball game. No home runs and 21 runs batted in. And the first pitch by Fisher, a breaking pitch in the outside corner above the knees for strike one. Fisher, with a record of 9 wins and 16 losses, his 33rd appearance. Lifetime against the Colts, he has 1-1 and lost 2. Pitch back, a fastball, a check in the swing, and a foul ball over the top of the screen, strike two. Fisher had the pitch right on by. And he has the count at 0-2. Philadelphia in the National League now temporarily, 6 games in first place. The outcome of the St. Louis-Cincinnati game will affect that. Giants by losing, dropping to 8.5 games back. A little foul ball hit down the right field side out of play. Cincinnati and St. Louis batting in the ninth inning. Cardinals in third place at this point, 8 games back. Two strike count on Eddie Casco. He'll be followed by Nellie Fox and then Al Spangler. And Fisher back with a slider. It's first down to second base, taken on the first drop by Rod Keneal, his throw to first base, picks up the first out of the ballgame. One up and one down, and Nellie Fox will bat. Nellie was not a starting player in the first ballgame. He was a pinch hitter in the seventh inning and Fox is short. Nellie batting 267. No home runs and 26 runs batted in. He holds four major league hitting records and six major league fielding marks. He has had 2,644 career base hits. And he came out of the American League with a lifetime average of 290. And he takes the first pitch for a called strike. Left fielder George Hoffman playing the shallow left field near the line. One strike delivery by Fisher bounced down to first base. A two-hopper for Ed Greenpool. He takes the ball and goes to the bag, and that is the second out. Two away, and it brings up Al Spangler. Spangler also a pinch hitter in the first ball game. He did stay in the game in the outfield in the ninth inning. He walked on four pitches, batting against Bill Wakefield. The Mets used four pitchers in the first game. Al Jackson, the winning pitcher. Larry Bernard, the fine save for him. Larry pitched one and two-thirds innings and did not allow a hit or run. A high pop-up on the first pitch back at home. Jesse Gander under the ball, and he makes the catch and that retires the side. So Jack Fisher goes through the first inning. One, two, three, and a score at the end of one half inning to play. The Colts nothing, the New York Mets coming to bat. Start of the year, his 32nd appearance. He has 1-3 and lost 6. Don originally obtained as a relief pitcher and now put into starting rotation. And he starts off with the first pitch and it's hit to center field. Carroll Hardy coming on in to make the catch and one pitch and one man out. Rod Keneal batting 230 before the out with one home run and nine runs batted in. That brings up Ed Greenpool, who had one inning four times up in the first game. His average at 265. Ed with eight home runs and 36 runs batted in. Ed and Joe Christopher, the on-deck batter, put back-to-back doubles together to score the first run of the game in the first inning for the Mets. First game won 7-5 by New York. And the first pitch by Larson is outside. A changeup, ball one. Don is 34 years of age. 6'4", 230 pounds. Lives in San Diego, California. Next pitch back. On the outside corner for strike one. One ball and one strike. Larson started out in the St. Louis Browns organization. Went with them when they moved to Baltimore and then was traded to the New York Yankees in a very large trade. 17 players involved in that trade back in 1954. Ground ball hits hard to first base, taken on one hop by Walt Bond. And now the Colts have 2 men away. That brings up Joe Christopher. Joe with two hits and four times up, a double and a bunt single in the first ball game. His average up to 309. Joe with 14 home runs and 67 runs batted in. He also has scored 67 runs, two short of the Met record held by Frank Thomas. And the first pitch to Joe is a curve low and outside, ball one. For the Colts, John Hoffman is the catcher, first base Walpon, Nellie Fox at second, the shortstop Ed Casco, the third baseman Bob Aspermonte. 1-0 delivery, inside a fastball, count even. Moving to two balls and no strikes, pardon me. Outfield shows Alf Mangler in left field, Gerald Hardy in center field, Joe Gaines in right. Parson back again, and he's low for ball three. Three balls and no strikes with George Altman on deck. Houston acquired Don Larson on waiver for $25,000 back on in the month of May of this year. And his next pitch is called strike. Three balls and one strike. Last year with the Giants, he won seven and lost seven. Worked 62 innings in relief. One pitch on the outside, Park just off the plate, ball four. Joe Christopher walks to first base, the Mets have their first base runner, and it brings up George Altman. George had two hits and four times up in the first ball game. His average is .224. And the first pitch to the left-hand batter is low. It's ball one. Altman doubled in two runs in the third. Run is runs batted in. To a total of 38, he has hit seven home runs. 1-0 delivery. Hit hard to the middle. It's a base hit. Joe Christopher's going to try for third. He'll make it. There'll be no play there, and the throw comes in to second base. George Altman behind the walk to Joe Christopher. Now the Mets have runners at first and third, and the batter is Jim Hickman. Mets with the first base into the ballgame. And now Jim Hickman, who is hitting .248. Jim, a right-hand batter with 10 home runs. And he swings at a slider at strike one. Jim has driven in 48 runs. He was in the first game in center field in the ninth inning defensively. Don Larson in the stretch position. And it's pitched back to Hickman. Hickman gets by the catcher coming in as Joe Christopher from third base. The play at the plate is not in time. Moving on down to second base, George Altman, and the Mets have scored the first run. And it's scored a pass ball against the catcher, John Hoffman. Pitch was down low, not in the dirt, went right between his legs off of the glove, rolled back to the screen very slowly, and that allowed Joe Christopher enough time to score from third. So the Mets take the early lead in the ballgame. And they lead now 1-0. Two ball, one strike count on Jim Hickman. And the pitch, swung on a miss, strike two. Jim going again for the slider. Larson has a very good slider. That was his best pitch. Also throws a fastball that moves in on a right-hand batter, changes up on his curve. Good control pitches. He now sets again. Altman at second base. Here's the pitch back to Hickman. And it's hit off the end of the bat. Loops in the right field. It's going to drop in. Altman scores at second base. And Hickman holds it first. That ball was hit right off the end of the bat. A little fast fly in the shallow right center field, and it dropped in easily between Nellie Fox, Sarah Hardy, and the right fielder Joe Gaines. So the Mets now have their second run on two hits. It brings up Jesse Gonsolin. Gonsolin batting 284, left-hand batter. He appeared in the first game as a pinch hitter and walked on four pitches. And he swings at the first pitch and strike one. Final score in St. Louis. The Cardinals with a run in the bottom half of the ninth inning have defeated Cincinnati in the first game with a doubleheader 3-2. Bob Gibson, the winning pitcher, he went all the way, giving up seven base hits. Bill Henry, the loser, for the rest. Boyer and Johnson, home run. And the next pitch back to Gonder is low at ball one. One ball and one strike. Philadelphia now. 6.5 games against the Cincinnati Reds. Reds in second place. Cardinals trail by 7.5 games. 1-1 delivery outside at ball two. Two balls and one strike. And the next pitch to Gonder swung on and missed strike two. Bruce Bell, who got back in the lineup yesterday for Baltimore, has hit a home run in the sixth inning with no one on. And Baltimore now leads Kansas City 3-1. Bunker pitching for the Orioles. Orlando Pena going for the Athletics. 2-2 delivery. Taken in there for a call, strike three. Jesse Gonder didn't like the call by Frank McCoy, and he is standing there talking about it. That retires the side. The Mets scored two runs on two hits. There were no errors. One man left on, and the score at the end of the first inning, the Mets 2, the Cubs nothing. Right now, we pause for station identification. Colt 45's Walt Vaughn against Jack Fisher, who worked the first inning 1-2-3. And the first pitch is hit off the hands, looped into right field for a base hit. Vaughn had 2-for-3 in the first ball game, batting at 259. Now has his third hit and four times up in the doubleheader. That brings up Bob Astromonte. Bob 0-for-3 in the first game, hitting 285. Man at first base, Jack Fisher in the stretch position for the first time, and his first pitch is low. Fast ball down below the knees, it's ball one. Matt, two runs, two hits. Colt 45's no runs and one hit. Pitch back to the plate, low again, this time over the outside corner, ball two. Two balls and no strikes on Bob Astromonte. Bob has hit 12 home runs this year, two grand slammers. He has driven in 63 runs. Paul Vaughn leads the club in home runs with 20 and runs better than him with 76. 2-0 delivery, foul back in the screen. Count now at two balls and one strike. Astromonte leads the club in base hits with 136. He also leads the club in times at bat with 478. Next pitch is hit foul down the third base side. Count evens at two balls and two strikes. And the ball boy, missing the ball as it goes on by and receiving his reward. Second game with a doubleheader, no one out. Top of the second inning, Mets won the first game 7-5, Al Jackson winning his 10th. 2-2 delivery. Slider swung on and foul tipped into the catcher's glove at strike three. And Jack Fisher picks up his first strikeout. That brings up Joe Gaines. Joe is 2-for-5 in the first ball game. He's batting .267. Gaines with 6 home runs and 31 runs batted in, a right-hand batter. Mets lead 2-0. Ball gone at first base. And the first pitch is a curveball that's low and outside. Jesse Gardner, a good catch on it. One ball, no strike. One ball and no strikes. Fastball back to the plate catches the outside corner right around the belt. It's one ball and one strike. Frank Sicori, the umpire behind the plate. Ken Burkhardt at first base. Ed Sudol at second base. And Paul Fryer at third. Pitcher backing off the pitching rubber and moved Gaines back. Now throws over there and Gaines dives back in and he has to make a long reach to get to the bag. Gaines, well, Bonnet first base. Big ball, tall fella. Gaines stepping out of the batter's box to allow him to get back in running position. One delivery, fouled back on the screen. That moves the count to one ball and two strikes. On deck, batter Carroll Hardy. Jack Fisher taking time as he takes the sign from Jesse Gardner. Now throw to first base, and this time Mars just beats the tag by Ed Cranebull as they go back in again. Fisher again in the set position, Bond with a short lead. Throw over there again, he dives back in and beats the tag. One ball, two strikes. Fisher sets back to the plate. And a curveball is swung on. And missed the strike three. Joe Gaines asking if the ball was caught. He thought possibly it fouled it. Ball was caught. No question about it. So Fisher picks up his second strikeout. And he'll pitch to Carroll Hardy. Carroll batting .197. In the first ball game, 1-for-3, he tripled the right field and drove in a run. Carroll, a right-hand batter with 2 home runs and 10 runs batted in. And the first pitch hit foul off the end of the bat. Ball fouled on the ground, strike one. Carroll with a check swing on the ball, but still getting the bat on it. One strike count. Mets scored 2 runs in the bottom half of the first. They lead 2-0 with 2 men out in the top of the second. Fisher again in the set position, again to first base. This time no tag made at ball one. Again goes back in with a dive. One strike down and Carroll Hardy, the pitch to the plate, slider in there for a call, strike two. Jack retires aside 1-2-3 in the first, getting Eddie Castro to ground the second. Ellie Fox to ground the first, and Al Sprangman to foul off the catcher. Bob Vaughn led off the second, hitting the first pitch to right field for a base hit, but then Bob Aspermonte struck out and Joe Gaines struck out. Now Carroll Hardy pops the next pitch up in the air in foul territory. Johnny Smith waiting for it, and he makes the catch and retires aside. No runs, one hit, no errors, one man left on base, and the score at the end of 1.5 innings, the Mets 2, the Colts nothing. Bottom half of the second, the first man up for the Mets will be Charlie Smith. He'll be followed by Roy McMillan and then Jack Fisher. Don Larson, working for the Colts in the mound, has given up 2 runs, allowed 2 hits. And the first pitch to Smith, a slider in for a called strike. Charlie batting 241 with 17 home runs and 49 runs batted in. He leads the club in home runs. And the next pitch is a called strike, so it's strike two. Charlie, a right-hand batter. Don Larson working from the right-hand side as a pitcher. And he comes back, a check swing. The ball bounced back to the 50 mound. Picked up by Larson on the second half. It's throw to first base. Gets the first out here in the bottom half of the second. Mets lead 2-0. That brings up Roy McMillan. Roy batting 216 with 22 runs batted in and one home run. Home run came in the first game with a man on base. Roy, a right-hand batter, and the first pitch. Fastball, a tie, ball one. Milwaukee outlasted the Chicago Cubs by winning 10-9. Milwaukee, 10 runs, 17 hits, no errors. Chicago, 9 runs, 15 hits, and no errors. Kiepenauer, the winning pitcher, he came in the game in the ninth inning, make it the eighth inning. Next pitch back to McMillan, a called strike and a curveball. Losing pitcher was the starter, Lou Burdette. Cubs used 7 pitchers in that ballgame, including Larry Jackson, their 18-game winner, and they still lost it. 1-1 delivery, punched over the shortstop dead in the left center. Terrell Hardy hustles over, gets in front of it, and he makes the catch. At the end of 3, Pittsburgh 4, San Francisco 2, Don Small pitching for the Pirates. For Ginzer has gone in and played for Ron Herbel for the Giants. Rheingold after Rheingold. Know why that's so easy to repeat? Because it's as good to your taste as it is to your thirst. Rheingold after Rheingold. Two men away as Jack Fisher bats for the first time, and he takes the first pitch for strike one. Jack batting 152 with 10 base hits and 66 times up. And he has driven in 8 runs. And the next pitch back is a called strike for strike two. Oh and two to the right-hand batter with Rod Caniel on deck. Mets lead 2-0. They have 2 runs on 2 hits. And pitcher goes for a fastball, fouls it back into the glove. It's strike three. Don Larson picking up his second strikeout, and that retires the side. No runs, no hits, no errors, and no one left on base. And the score at the end of 2, the Mets 2, the Colts nothing. Well, the Mets don't have a whole lot of games left, but they still have some mighty big games coming up. St. Louis and Cincinnati when they return from their 11-game road trip. And those two teams battling Philadelphia for first place in the National League pennant race. For those of you who have not been out to Shea Stadium this year, and for those of you who need a reminder about where the ticket offices are, here's a little rundown. One in Grand Central Station, which is open weekdays from 8 to 6, Saturdays from 8:30 to 4, and closed on Sunday. One at Pennsylvania Station, open from 8 to 6 on weekdays, 8:30 to 4 on Saturdays, and closed on Sunday. Right here at Shea Stadium, weekdays, the ticket office is open from 8 to 6, on Saturdays from 9 to 5, and on Sundays from 9 to 5. And you can also pick up your tickets at Macy's in Huntington during the store hours only there. Grand Central Station ticket office located at the foot of the 42nd Street ramp and the Vanderbilt Avenue ramp. Long Island Waiting Room is where the ticket office is located in Pennsylvania Station. And in Shea Stadium, of course, it's out here at 126th Street and Roosevelt Avenue. Don't forget, 2-game series with the Cardinals on the 22nd and 23rd of September, and a 5-game series with the Cincinnati Reds starting on the 25th of September and ending the 27th. Now we start the top of the third, and the first pitch by Jack Fisher is ball one. First man up, John Hoffman started the swing and then held up, and the pitch was inside. Hoffman, a left-hand batter, and Fisher comes back again inside. It's ball two. Pitch just off the inside corner. It'll be John Hoffman, Don Larson, and Eddie Castro against the right-hander here in the top of the third. The Mets lead 2-0. And a fastball hit down towards second base, picked up by Rod Caneal. He runs to the bag and then tosses underhand to Eddie Greenpool for the out. Hoffman now has been at bat five times in the major leagues, and he has no base hit. Don Larson, the batter, with a 1-for-26 average going for him. He's batting 0-38. One man away in the top of the third. The Mets lead 2-0. Larson, big, strong right-hand batter, takes a curve for strike one. Starting pitchers in that second game in Chicago, Clay Carroll for the Milwaukee Braves making his first start. Bob Buell going for the Cubs. And that game will have to get going in a hurry because they have no lights out there. Pitch back is a called strike in the outside corner. First game won by the Braves, 10-9. They'll be in here on Wednesday night for a two-game series. Two-strike delivery. Just outside for ball one. Breaking pitch by Jack Fisher in the count of one ball and two strikes. Starting pitchers in the second game of the Cincinnati-St. Louis doubleheader, John Tatouris going for the Cincinnati Reds, and Roger Craig for the St. Louis Cardinals. St. Louis won the first game 3-2 behind Bob Gibson. Next pitch is outside at ball two. Two balls and two strikes. A curveball fouled off. Ball going out of play, and the count stays at 2-2. At the end of 5.5 innings, the Dodgers 3, Philadelphia 1. Pete Rickard going for the Dodgers. Bobby Shands pitching for Philadelphia. Phillies won the first game 5-1. At the end of 3, Pittsburgh 4, San Francisco 2. For Genzer pitching for the Giants. Ball going for Pittsburgh. Fastball back to the plate by Jack Fisher. Swung on and missed. Strike 3. Fisher getting his third strikeout. Now a two away in the top of the third. The batter will be Eddie Castro batting for the second time. Eddie grounded out to second base his first time up. Castro batting 243, a right-hand batter. Eddie looks at a fastball on the outside corner, strike one. Mets lead 2-0 after taking the first game 7-5. 2 men out, top of the third. Pitch back to the plate. Looked at on the inside corner, strike two. Fisher coming right off the chop with a good pitch. So he is in front, 0-2. Pitch back to the plate is hit off to the right side, out of play. So the count stays at 0-2. Mets scored their two runs in the first inning after two men were out. Joe Christopher walked, went to third base on the single by Altman, scored on the pass ball, and then Jim Hickman grouped the single to right to score George Altman from second. Pitch back is low. It's ball one. One ball and two strikes. One of the two runs unearned because of the pass ball. Now the 1-2 delivery, sidearm slider hit down to third. A nice high hop coming up for Charlie Smith. He goes to first base with a wide throw, taken by Ed Crane, pulled off of the bag, and he makes the tag to retire the side. Six in a row now for Jack Fisher after giving up a base hit, the only hit of the game to Walt Bond. And the score at the end of 2.5 innings, the Mets 2, the Colts nothing. Quick now, before I say, Rangel is as good to your taste as it is to your thirst. Who holds the Major League record for the most two base hits in the season? Well, as you guessed, Earl Webb of the Red Sox, when he hit 67 back in 1931, you made a good guess. Another in a series of fascinating facts for the fans, brought to you by your friends, the Brewers of Rheingold Extra Dry. Just for good measure, Ducky Medwick of the Cardinals set the National League record in 1936 with 64. Now, if you think the Brewers of Rheingold have nothing better to do than haunt the record books, well, you're wrong. They also happen to brew the smoothest, the liveliest, the thirst-quenchingest. But I don't have to tell you that. You live anywhere along the Rheingold Beat, You know that Rheingold is as good to your taste as it is to your thirst. Rheingold after Rheingold. Rod Caneal, the first man up in the bottom half of the third. The Mets lead 2-0. Willie Mays has hit his second home run of the day, his 41st home run of the year, and his 447th home run in his career to give the Giants a 5-4 margin over the Pittsburgh Pirates. Willie's home run coming with two men on, the Giants still batting in the top of the fourth. First pitch to Rod Caneal is ball one. Rod batting 229, one hit and five times up in the doubleheader. Five out to center field in this game on the first pitch. Then Don Larson back with a fastball inside. It's ball two. Two balls and no strikes. Rod, a right-hand batter, will be followed by Ed Greenpool, a left-hander. Next pitch is fouled off, a slider fouled off the end of the bat. Counted two balls and one strike. After Ed Greenpool, Joe Christopher. Shadows now covering all the field with the exception of the center field area and part of the right field area. Lights have been turned on here at Shea Stadium, but they are not really necessary at this point. Beautiful day for baseball. Pitch back to Caneal, lined over the shortstop there to base hit. Rod rounds at first base, and the throw comes in from Carroll Hardy in time to stop him there. So Rod has his first hit. That was the third hit off Don Larson, and it brings up Ed Greenpool with no one out. Ed grounded out his first time up, a left-hand batter, batting 264, 1-5 today. And he takes a strike at the knees, strike one. Here are the attendance figures for today. Paid 22,123. Total attendance of 22,728. And the Mets now in 59 home dates have drawn 1,629,536. Pitch back to Greenpool just outside at one ball and one strike. Go to first base, Rod Caneal back before the tag. Now Larson back to work, and the pitch is low again and outside. It's two balls and one strike. About 25,000 to draw $1,000,008 in the next 7 dates at home. Pitches outside again in ball three, this time up around the letters. Three balls and one strike. Mets have a very good chance of breaking the all-time record of any National League team in New York City, as they have 7 more home dates, and if they can keep their present average per game, they can go by that record. A little over 25,000 for opening. 3-1 delivery with the runner going is lined to center field at base hit. Rod Caneal is going to third. Carroll Hardy up with the ball, throws in the second base, and on the 3-1 hit and run play, Eddie Greenpool puts runners at first and third. That'll bring up Joe Christopher. Walked his first time up and scored the first run of the ball game. Now the Mets with a 2-0 lead and threatening in the bottom half of the third. No one out. 2-7 now, the Dodgers 3, Philadelphia 1. Pete Rickard pitching for the Dodgers has gone all the way. Bobby Chance relieved. Rick White in the first for the Philadelphia Phillies. He is still in the ballgame. First game won by the Phillies. Now the pitch to Joe Christopher. Curveball low and outside. Ball one. Danny Coombs, a left-hander, warming up for the Houston Colts 45. One ball, no strikes. Christopher batting at 309. Right-hand batter. And the pitch by Larson. Too low for ball two. Two balls and no strikes. After Joe Christopher, the Mets will have George Altman coming up. Don Larson taking the sign from his catcher, John Hoffman, now in the stretch position. And the next pitch is fouled off and out of play. Larson with a high side fastball, getting the ball by Christopher. Two balls and one strike. Four hits. Colts have no runs and one hit. Mets won the first game 7-5. Al Jackson the winner. Al receiving great pitching help by Larry Bernard, who came in the game in the eighth inning. Here's the 2-1 delivery. Let up, popped up on the first base side in foul territory. Walt Vaughn right by the back, and he makes the catch. Joe Christopher fouling out for the first out, the bottom half of the third. That brings up George Altman. Runners remaining at first and third. And George batting for the second time. He singled the center field his first time up. That was his third hit and five times up in the doubleheader. And his average at 226. Infield playing for the double play. With the exception of Bob Aspermonte at third, who is even with the bat. And the first pitch to Altman is a fastball. He has a hard swing for strike one. One strike count on George Altman with Jim Hickman on deck. One man away, bottom half of the third. The Mets lead 2-0. Runners at first and third. And the next pitch is hit high in the air. It's a deep right field. Will Gaines back by the warning track. Tagged up the runners at third and first. The catch made by Gaines and scoring from third base after the catch. Rob Caneal. That trains roll halfway down towards second base. Stop there as the throw went into second. High fly ball hits a deep right field. George just under it, just missing a home run. Let the Mets take a 3-0 lead on the sacrifice fly, and Jim Hickman steps in. Jim booked the hit to right field his first time up to drive in a run. Batting at 250. And the first pitch is outside, a curveball. It is ball one. Mets three runs on four hits. The Colts no runs and one hit. Hickman with 49 runs batted in. And he hits a hard smash foul into the box seats. They got now at one ball and one strike. And we'll pause for station identification. This is the New York Mets Baseball Network. Along with Bob Murphy and Lindsey Nelson from Shea Stadium. Two men away in the bottom half of the third. The Mets lead 3-0. One ball, one strike count on Jim Hickman with Ed Craneful at first base. Now Larson sets again. He comes back to the plate and the pitch is inside, ball two. Oh, Two balls, one strike. And the next pitch is high and tight. Hickman moves away, and it's ball three. Three balls and one strike with Jesse Gunder on deck. Danny Coombs still throwing for Houston in their bullpen. Larson into the stretch position. Crane pull with a short lead. He does not go, and the pitch is taken in there for a called strike two. That fills the count at 3-2, and Hickman will be going on the next pitch. And also at first base, Ed Cranepool will be going. Cranepool goes, the pitch is fouled off as Hickman tries to get out of the way. It goes over the top of the screen and out of play. Pitch was outside the strike zone, and Jim was trying to stop his swing and also get out of the way at the same time. Crane pull back to first base. The count holds at 3-2. Crane pull not being held on by the first baseman, Walt Bond. And he goes. And it's ball four. Pitch is low, and Drainpool goes down to second base. Hickman gets first base free. And it brings up Jesse Gunder. Second walk issued by Don Larson. Jesse struck out his first time up. He was called out on the questionable pitch with Jim Hickman at first base. Now batting for the second time with a .283 batting mark. Three nothing score. The Mets have scored one run in the bottom half of the third here on top of the two in the first. And the first pitch to Gunder is ball one. One ball, no strikes. Crane Bull leading off with a short lead at second base. Hickman about the same at first. And the 1-0 delivery, a let-off hit off the end of the bat, foul on the third base side, strike one. One ball and one strike. Gunder way out in front of the change of pace, heading the ball right off the end of the bat. The Giants scored four runs in the top of the fourth. They have taken the lead away from the Pittsburgh Pirates, and they lead 6-4. Home run by Willie Mays with two men on is 41st in that inning. Next pitch back to Gunner, line to center field. Harvey charging, and he drops the ball. Ball goes out through against the center field wall. Cranepool scores from second base, Hickman from first base, and Gunner goes in the third. Ball retrieved against the center field wall by Joe Gaines. That was a high drive to center field. Earl Hardy charged into the ball, got it about knee high, and then lost it, and the ball went right on through and rolled out against the fence. It's a three-base error charged against Carroll Hardy in center field, and the Mets now lead 5-0. Eddie Cranepool scoring from second base, and Jim Hickman all the way from first. And that brings up Charlie Smith. Charlie grounded out to the pitcher his first time up, and he bounces the first pitch down the third. A good play and a tough hop by Bob Aspermonte. He throws to first base, and that retires the side. And in the inning, the Mets score three runs on two hits. There was one error, one walk, and one man left on base. And the score at the end of three, the Mets 5, the Colt 45, nothing.
Buy Smart Paint the way you'd like. A filter cigarette to taste. Not too strong.
And not too light.
Buy Smart's got the face, that's right.
Inning, and now to come to take you along the way on the play-by-play, here's Bob Murphy.
Okay, Ralph, thank you very much. In the fourth inning, Nellie Fox leads off against Jack Fisher. Nellie hitting at 266. Now Jack out of his wind up, the pitch to Nellie, taken outside. One ball and no strikes. And that's won the opening game, 7-5. Lead in the nightcap, 5-0. Houston now hitting in the fourth inning. 1-0 delivery, and Nellie lays off. It's a little bit high. Two balls and no strike. Fox the batter, and Nellie is taking all the way this time. He's trying to get on base. The count goes to 2-1 as it breaks right in. Two-one delivery drives Nellie back from the plate, and the count goes to 3-3. New York 5 runs, 4 hits. Houston no runs, 1 hit. Mets build up a 6-1 lead in the opening ball game, but Houston made quite a comeback. It's over a strike, 3-2. Houston got 1 in the 7th and 3 more in the 8th inning and threw a king-size scare into the Mets. Good relief job by Larry Bernard preserved the win, and the Mets picked up an insurance run in the last of the 8th inning. Now the 3-2 delivery. High pop-up into short left. McMillan goes out. In comes George Altman, and George has it. One away in the Houston fourth inning, and now the batter is the left fielder, Al Spangler. He fouled out to Jesse Gander for the third out in the opening inning. Spangler hitting at 245. He was the top hitter last year on the Houston ball club. Power and the RBI production this year has been handled by Bond and Aspermani. Now it's taken inside and low, 1 and no strikes. Next pitch on the way. He runs up as if to bunt. Doesn't offer. It's inside and low. 2-0. Well, there were 5 home runs hit in Milwaukee's 10-9 win over Chicago in the first game today at Wrigley Field. Joe Torre has hit a 2-run homer in the first inning of the second game. I bet that wind is really blowing out in the Windy City today. Ball 3. Fisher behind on Spangler. 3-0. Braves got 3 runs off Bob Buell in the first inning. Pitch is over now to Spangler, and the count is 3-1. Reds and the Cardinals tied 1-1 at the end of one inning in the second game. St. Louis won the first game 3-2 with a run on the ninth. Inside and low, it's ball 4, and Spangler draws a walk. That's the first walk given up by Jack Fisher, and it brings up Walter Bob. Well, the Orioles have added 3 runs in the 8th inning. They now have moved out to a 6-1 lead over Kansas City at the end of 8 innings. Wally Bunker, the sensational 19-year-old rookie right-hander from California, is trying for his 15th win against only 4 losses. Now Fisher has the runner. The pitch to Bon Hammer down to first. Crane Drill throws to second one. McMillan back to Crane Drill. Double play. .363 double play erases the sad. The Mets turn the 141st double play of the year. They're still better than one a game. And the score at the end of 3.5 innings, the New York Mets 5 and the Houston Colts 45s, nothing. Now here's some cool music. Have a tall, cool rain go by. In the ball game now to take over the pitching for the Houston Colt 45s. Don Larson pitching the first three innings. Don allowed 5 runs, gave up 4 hits, he walked 2, and he struck out 2. He deserved a much better fate. First run scored by New York came in on a pass ball. The next two were driven in by Jim Hickman and George Altman, but the last two, the fourth and fifth runs, came in as the result of a hard-hit line drive that was misplayed in center field for an error by Carroll Hardy and enabled the last two runs to come in. So Don Larson, pitching without any luck over the first three innings, retires from the game with New York out in front 5-0. Roy McMillan leads off against the young left-hander. Now the windup, here's the pitch. Fastball taken high. 1 ball and no strikes. Danny Coombs came out of Seton Hall. He's been in the Army most of the season. Blazing fastball outside and low. 2 balls and no strikes. And Danny throws hard. He's been in only 5 ball games. 1-0 and lost 1. And the pitch is low outside. It's ball 3, 3-0. Danny is 22 years old. His home is Lincoln, Maine. Hard-throwing left-hander who stands 6'4 and weighs 200. He's had actually just about one full year of professional baseball, and the fastball is outside, ball 4. Roy McMillan walked on 4 pitches by Danny Coombs as he takes over the pitching. Year before last. Or last year, I should say, at Modesto, Danny won 9 and lost 10. Year before last, he was at Durham briefly. Won 1 and lost 2. Last year, his only full year in pro ball, he struck out 182 men in 135 innings. Fisher, around the bunt, doesn't offer. It's too high. 1 ball and no strikes. Bottom half of the fourth inning. Well, Pete Rickard has run into trouble. Perhaps in the eighth inning. It's taken outside. Another fastball, and the count goes to 2-0. Dodgers leading the Phils 3-1, going to the last of the eighth inning. Bob Miller was brought in by Walter Alston, and then Ron Baranowski. Perhaps simply going percentage-wise, right-hander against right-hander, left-hander against left-hander. Philadelphia, with four in the eighth inning, won the first game from the Dodgers, 5-1 on a five-hitter by Dennis Bennett. Right here, the count is 2-0 on Jack Fisher. McMillan on first, nobody out. He's around the bunt. He takes it all away, and it's over for a strike, 2-1. Now the Phillies are out in the last of the eighth inning without scoring, and so that game will go to the ninth inning. With Ron Paranowski and Ed Roebuck pitching in relief, and the Dodgers in front 3-1. He turns around, bunts it, foul, back over the screen, no play. Even count now on Jack Fisher, 2-2. Jack hitting for the second time. He was struck out by Don Larson in the second inning. Now Danny Coombs off the stretch, the 2-2 delivery. Low and outside, ball three, and the string is out. If the Mets can sweep the doubleheader today, they can assure themselves of at least a split of the season series. They'll have a series against the Colt 45s in Houston. There goes the runner, hit and run in a foul ball, hit down the first baseline beyond Wes Westrum. So Roy McMillan, who was on his way, will have to return. Mets will play three night ball games against Houston in Houston 2 weeks from now. Now the 3-2 delivery. The runner holds, a swing and a miss. Strike three. Well, this time Casey had Roy McMillan holding up, and it paid dividends. Fisher was struck out with a fastball thrown by Danny Coombs. Now Rod Keneal at the top of the order. Rod has flied to center and singled to left center. He came around to score in the third inning. Coombs, a tall left-hander from Lincoln, Maine, and he throws hard. Pitch on the way, on the inside corner, strike one call. The White Sox lost their first game in Washington today. They may lose two. Here's the pitch on the way, and it's low inside, one ball and one strike. The White Sox have been shut out for seven innings by Dave Stenhouse in the second ballgame with Washington in front, 4-0. Washington won the first game on a five-hit shutout by Benny Daniels. They won 3-0. Meanwhile, the Yankees gained ground by winning their morning game from the Twins, 5-4 in the 11 innings. The 1-1 pitch. Ground ball hit through the hole. A base hit going to right field. McMillan around second, headed for third. Here's the peg by Gaines. It's cut off. Runners on first and third. Rob Keneal picking up his second hit, a ground single behind the runner into right field. Now left-hander against left-hander, Eddie Cranebull batting against Dan Coombs. Base hit number five for the New York Mets. They have five runs on five hits and lead 5-0. Swing and a miss on a curve, strike one. Eddie singled to center and later scored in the third inning. Now Dan Coombs picks up his sign from battery mate John Hoffman. Houston infield looking for two. Low and outside, one ball, one strike. Joe Christopher is the on-deck batter, and then George Altman. 1-1 delivery. Just in there at the knees for a call strike. He really had the zip on that fastball. 1-2. Giants are trying to sweep 2 from Pittsburgh on the slugging of Willie Mays this afternoon. Willie has hit a home run in each ballgame in the nightcap with 2 men on base. Claude Ramone on call now in the Houston bullpen. The 1-2 delivery. Fly ball in the air to right field. It may drop in, coming fast as the right fielder gains, and he makes the catch. The runners will hold at first and third. The ball in very shallow right field. Look for a moment as though it might drop, but Gaines has a lot of running speed, and he was able to reach it. Now there are 2 away, runners at the corners. The hitter is Joe Christopher. Joe has reached on a walk and scored a run. Fouled out. Next time Joe scores a run, he'll tie the Mets club record of 69 year before last by Tom Frank Thomas. Joe lashes the bat around, waits on Dan Coombs, and the pitch is a little off the outside corner. 1-0. After the Milwaukee series, the Mets hit the road, and when they return, they'll play their last 7 home games of the season. The Dodgers are out in the 9th inning. Now the Phils hit in the last of the 9th inning, trailing the Dodgers 3-1. Aronofsky is on in relief. It's over a strike. 1-1. They've gone halfway in the second game in Pittsburgh. The Giants lead the Pirates 6-5 at the end of 4.5. Danny Murtaugh has had 4 pitchers in that game, and Alvin Dark now has 3. The 1-1 delivery. Hit on the ground hard, but right after second baseman Nelly Fox. He flips it across to the shortstop, Casco, and they take the force play to retire the side. No runs, 1 hit, no errors, 2 left on. Now at the end of 4, it's the Mets 5 runs, 5 hits, and no errors. Houston, no runs, 1 hit, and 1 error. Final homestand of the year for the New York Mets will get underway in the Cardinals series that starts with a Tuesday night game on September 22nd. A Wednesday afternoon game that closes out the 2-game series with St. Louis, and then Cincinnati will come in. The Reds will play the next 5 games over the weekend of September 25th, 26th, and 27th. The Reds relying on the slugging of Frank Robinson, Darren Johnson, Beta Benson. Still feel they have a definite chance to overhaul the Phils. They'll be relying on the pitching of Joey J., Jim Maloney, Bob Perkey, John Soturas. And that could be a tremendous series for Cincinnati if they're still within striking distance when the Reds arrive in New York for a 5-game set over the weekend, a doubleheader Friday, Ladies' Day game Saturday, and a doubleheader on Sunday. Bob Aspromonte will lead off against Jack Fisher as the game moves into the 5th inning. The Mets won the opening game 7-5. Alvin Jackson winning his 10th of the year. Al now has won 7 of his last 10 decisions. Ground ball off the bare arm of Jack Fisher. It'll be a base hit. Aspromonte is on, and let's see where that one nicked him. Jack threw up his bare hand, and it didn't seem to hit him on the hand, but more up on the forearm. Roy McMillan coming in to ask him where he was hit, and Jack points to a spot just above the wrist on the right forearm. Base hit by Aspromonte, the second hit given up by Jack Fisher. Right fielder Joe Gaines was struck out, his only time at bat in the second inning. Gaines hitting at 266. Check swing and a foul ball on the ground coming right straight back. Still started the year with the Orioles, but the arrival of Sam Bowens as a top-notch Major League ball player made it impossible for him to see any action. Washington got two more runs in the seventh inning. So Gil Hodges' Senators now lead the White Sox 6-0 at the end of seven innings. They won the first game 3-0 on a five-hitter by Benny Daniels. Outside, one ball and one strike. The Yankees won the morning game. They're playing a game in the morning and a game at night. The Orioles are playing two games in Kansas City. The Birds lead the first game 6-1 with the A's hitting in the last of the ninth. The 1-1 pitch. Fly ball hit deep to right. Joe Christopher has a long way to go, running toward the line, and it lands foul by about a foot and bounces into the right field corner. That ball just missed being an extra base hit. And right here, while everybody is scampering back, we'll scamper around the air lanes. We pause for station identification. This is the New York Mets Baseball Network.
For Mets Baseball, for the best in music, news, and sports, keep your dial set at 810, the smoothest sound around, WGY Schenectady.
Bob Murphy with Lindsey Nelson and Ralph Kiner. Houston at bat in the fifth inning. New York in front, 5-0. Aspromonte on first, nobody out. And the pitch a little low and outside, 2-2. Phillies and Dodgers will play tomorrow. They have a makeup game. They make up the controversial game, the controversial rainout that took place the last time the Dodgers were in Philadelphia. Hit hard down to third, taken by Charlie Smith. Over to second for one. Can yield to first. Save the first base. It was close. So Kenny Burkhardt is getting some umpiring help. He had to call a close one. Well, I was looking, listen. One out and one on. Now the hitter is Carroll Hardy. Now the first game is over in Kansas City. 19-year-old Wally Funker all the way pitching a six-hitter. The Birds beat the A's 6-1. Orlando Pena was the loser. The only run off Wally Funker was a home run by Nelson Matthews. For the Orioles, Bud Powell back in action, cracked his 32nd of the year. Carroll Hardy, 0 for 1, fouled out the third, his only time up. Ground ball on the right side to his left side is Caneal. The play goes to first in time. Ball was not hit sharply enough to give Rod a chance to try and take the lead runner, Joe Gaines, off the line. Now the hitter is John Hoffman. John has been up only five times all year long. John hitting left-handed. Breaking ball inside. He had him fooled, and he did break his wrist on it. It's a strike. Hoffman started after a big curve thrown by Fisher, then tried to hold up. Now Fisher eyes the runner at second base. Pitch to Hoffman, a swing and a miss on a curve that broke down around the ankles. Kalen Susko will be Casey's choice to open the Milwaukee series against Henry Aaron and Rico Carty on Wednesday night with a day game on Thursday afternoon. Two-strike delivery, a swing, and a messy struck him out. It was in the dirt. Picked up by Jesse. He throws to first. The side is out. He really made Hoffman look bad on three curveballs that were broke down low and inside. No runs. One hit. No errors. One left on. So we've come halfway in the nightcap of the Twin Bill. The Mets are trying for a sweep on the score at the end of 4.5. The Mets 5 and the Colt 45's nothing. Now here's music to quench your thirst by.
There's a lot of living being done, a lot of living and a lot of fun, where two dear lovers meet along the right road.
People who like beer like Rheingold Extra Dry. Rheingold is as good to your taste as it is to your thirst, because it's brewed extra dry.
So get where the living's being done, where the action is, and all the fun on the Rheingold side of the street. Along the Rheingold beat, Rheingold is as good to your taste as it is to your thirst, because it's brewed extra dry. Rheingold is as good to your taste as it is to your thirst.
Last of inning number five, George Altman hits against lefty Dan Coombs. And the Giants now have a chance to gain a full game on the top if they can sweep a doubleheader from Pittsburgh. The Dodgers won the nightcap from the Phillies 3-1. The winning pitcher was Pete Rickert, with Miller and Paranoski relieving in the last two innings. So the Phillies and the Dodgers have split their Labor Day doubleheader. The Giants won the first game 6-4 and lead the nightcap 6-5 at the end of five from Pittsburgh. Foul ball hit back toward the screen by Big George. This has been a real good doubleheader for George Altman. George in this game has singled to center and hit a sacrifice fly to deep right, driving in a run. Tall Danny Coombs out of Seton Hall lines and pitches a swing and a miss on a fastball pitched in tight. Danny starting his second inning of the game. Don Larson worked the first three. Now the two-strike pitch. Hit foul high and long down the left field line. This will wind up back toward the corner of the field box area. All told, about 10,000 of the field box seats, which are painted yellow, they are the ones on the movable track that move from their present position out toward left center and right center when the field is converted for football. Now Danny Coombs over the head, the two-strike pitch. Low and outside, one ball and two strikes. After the Thursday game with the Milwaukee Braves, Johnny McCarthy and his crew then will go to work in preparing the field here at Shea Stadium for the American Football League opener of the New York Jets next Saturday night here against the Denver Broncos. High fly at the left center. It's carrying deep. Back goes Carroll Hardy near the wall. He makes the catch. Carroll Hardy all the way to the fence in left center, 396 feet out to pull in that long drive. One away and nobody on. Jim Hickman, the batter. Danny Coombs out of the windup. The pitch, drive in the air to center off Hickman's bat, waiting as Hardy, and he's got it. He moved only about three strides to his right, stood there, and caught it. Two outs and nobody on. On behalf of the brewers of Rheingold Extra Dry, Rheingold salesmen, distributors, and retailers, and everyone connected with Rheingold, we hope you're enjoying yourself on this wonderful Labor Day weekend, wherever you are along the Rheingold beat. Foul ball off Gander's bat. Back toward the crowd, it'll be out of play. Dave Stenhouse got the White Sox out in the eighth inning, and now Gil Hodge is through hitting in the last of the eighth inning, leading Chicago by a score of 6-0 as they try to sweep a doubleheader. One more inning for Dave Stenhouse, and it'd be a double shutout for Washington. Next pitch on the way. Ground ball hit towards shortstop. Comes up on a knee-high hop. Casco fires across the diamond to Bond, and the side is out. Mets are up, three up and three down in the fifth inning. No runs, no hits, no errors, and none left. Now five complete. New York, five runs, five hits, no errors. Houston, no runs, two hits, one error. Well, the Mets enjoy a day off tomorrow. And Gale and Sisco will open the series against the Milwaukee Braves Wednesday night. The series, just a two-game series, so the final game of the series and the current homestand will be Thursday afternoon. Right now, the Braves have the number two and number three hitters in the National League, Enrico Cardi, their rookie left fielder, and their perennial all-star, Henry Aaron. Henry making a great late-season drive, trying to overhaul the Bucks' Roberto Clemente for the batting title. Henry has been Mr. Consistency of the National League. Every year he drives in about 120 runs. Now, Ivan Morrell is coming up as a pinch hitter for Danny Coombs as we go to the sixth inning. Outfielder from Panama, right-hand batter stepping in against Jack Fisher. He's hitting for Dan Coombs. Houston will have a new pitcher in the game in the last of the sixth inning. Fisher's lined up and pitch, just a little bit low. One ball and no strikes. Now the pitcher on the way, and it takes the outside corner for a strike. One ball and one strike. Well, that one really got away. Breaking ball by Fisher that hit the dirt way outside. Two balls and a strike. Bob Ramon, who relieved in the first game here today, is warming up, and he'll be coming on in the last of the sixth inning. Fastball down the middle of strike. Count 2-2 on the pinch batter, Ivan Morrell. Eddie Casco on deck, and then Nellie Fritz. 2-2 delivery. Curve is fouled, going down the right field line and over toward the field boxes. Paid crowd today of better than 22,000 for the Labor Day doubleheader between New York and Houston. The 2-2 pitch. And it's popped high in the air. Foul may or may not be playable. It won't. It's strapping into the crowd. Hit one of the empty field boxes and bounced right back on the field. Well, a fan fitted to see that souvenir get away. Pitching 2-2. Swing and a miss. He got him on a curve. Morrell tried to hold up, but it broke beautifully over the outside corner. That's five strikeouts for Jack Fisher. Casco leading off at the top of the order. Takes low outside. One ball and no strikes. Eddie has grounded out to second. Grounded out to third. Nothing for two. If the Mets can win and sweep the doubleheader, they would need only one win in the three games in Houston to nail down the season series. Now the pitch gets the outside corner. A good slider and it's 1-1. One delivery. Fisher not wasting a moment between pitches. A little bit high and inside, 2-1. And Jack gets in that good groove and has that rhythm going the way he likes it. He likes to stay with it and work rather fast. A 2-1, but it's foul. Back over the screen, it's 2-2. In 1960, the Orioles made a run on the Yankees in mid-September and were actually deadlocked with the Yankees on the 15th of September. The 2-2 delivery breaks outside as 3-2. They had a very young pitching staff. They were called the Baby Birds. Jack Fisher, Chuck Estrada, Bill Pappas, and Steve Barber, backed up by crafty veterans such as Hal Skinny Brown and Hoyt Wilhelm. Line drive into left field, a clean base hit. George Altman runs toward the line, picks it up, plays it back in, and Casco is on with a base hit to left. But that was the year that the Yankees swept the four-game series in mid-September, went on to win their last 15 straight. Nellie Fox has been up twice, rounded out to first, flat out to left. One out and one on. The pitch to Nellie is inside and low. One ball and no strikes. New York, 5 runs, 5 hits. Houston, no runs, 3 hits. We're in the 6th inning. Foul ball, back up against the screen. No play, it's 1-1. Delivery, line drive, foul down the left field line and over toward the field boxes. Nellie has just rounded out 16 full seasons. He's in his 17th year now. One, two delivery. Foul ball. He ripped that one. A hard grounder. Foul by about a foot. Now he's still able to produce a lot of base hits. He's third on the Houston club in total hits this year. Bob Aspermonte is the team leader with 136. Walter Bond, the runner-up, and then comes Nellie Fox. Pitching 1-2. Fly ball to right field. Joe Christopher just moves one stride and a stride in and takes it. Now 2 outs and 1 on. The batter is Spangler, batting third in the order. Al fouled out to Jesse Gander in the first inning, and then he drew a walk, but was erased in a double play in the 4th inning. Mets have made a lot of double plays this year. They've made 141 in 139 ballgames. Now the pitch on the way, and it's over on the inside corner, strike one. It does not necessarily follow that the club that makes the most double plays is a club that has pitching problems. You check the DP leaders over the last few years in the major leagues, and more times than not, it's a contending ball club that leads in double plays. Line drive hit toward the middle, a base hit by Al Spangler. Casco around second is going on to third as Hickman plays the ball back into Rod Keneal. This will be a long day for the Houston club before it's over. They're playing a doubleheader, and then after the doubleheader, they fly to Chicago. We're all looking forward to the trip to Houston and a chance to see the Dome Stadium. They say it is now about 85% complete. Ground ball hit foul by Walter Bond. Walter hit his 20th home run of the year in the first game. It was a towering fly ball, a major league home run if you ever saw one. On the downward flat, it hit the screen attached to the foul pole about halfway up. Next pitch to Bond, a line drive toward the alley in right center. It'll be a base hit and score a run. Vasquez is in to score. Spangler goes on to third, and it is a 5-1 ball game. Run batted in for Walter Bond, his 77th of the year. It's a lot of RBIs playing in that big Houston ballpark half the time. Now runners on first and third. The Colts have their first run, and the batter has asked for money. Pitch by Fisher, low and outside, ball one. Bill Wakefield and Bill Hunter have been given the call now in the New York bullpen. Runners at first and third. The pitch to Aspromonte. He tries to bunt for a base hit. It goes foul. No play. Matter of fact, it went right down on the foot of Frank Sicori. One ball and one strike on Aspromonte. Bob got a base hit his last time up with a hard ground smash that hit the right forearm of Jack Fisher. Crossfire pitch just missed the outside corner. Jim Hannon has relieved Dave Stenhouse in the ninth inning of the second game in Washington. Stenhouse was working on a shutout going to the ninth inning with Washington in front 6-0. Fouled off to the right, no play. Here are the second game pitchers in Kansas City. For the Orioles, Dave McNally, 7-10 on the year, and for the A's, it'll be Bob Meyer, 1 win and 5 losses. Baltimore won the first game 6-1 on a six-hitter by Wally Bunker. This could be a day for both the Yankees and the Orioles to pick up games on Chicago. A swing and a miss, he struck him out. Jack Fisher with a real good slider notches his 6th strikeout and retires the side. 1 run, 3 hits, no errors, and 2 left on. At the end of 5.5 innings, the New York Mets 5 and the Houston Colts 45s 1. You know, Lindsay, I really enjoy a viceroy right after I've watched some exciting plays.
You mean like when there are a couple of men on and the pitcher takes himself out with a good strikeout?
Yes, sir, that's exactly what I mean. You know, after you've been all keyed up, it's great to relax with a viceroy. You see, Viceroy is scientifically made to taste the way you'd like a filter cigarette to taste.
No doubt about it. Viceroy has got the taste that's right.
That's right. Viceroy is not too strong like some filter brands that taste as if they didn't have a filter. And Viceroy is not too light, like others that keep you smoking one after another trying to satisfy your taste. Viceroy's got the deep weave filter for the taste that's right. So, fans on the road or at work or wherever you are, make your next pack of cigarettes Viceroy. Not too strong, not too light. Viceroy's got the taste that's right. Now, Claude Ramon is on to pitch for Houston. He worked 3 innings in the first game, allowed 1 run, and gave up 2 hits. He gave up the 2-run homer to Roy McMillan. After that, he really settled down. He wound up retiring the last 8 batters that he faced. The Mets will have Charlie Smith coming up against Ramon in the bottom half of the 6th inning. New York, 5 runs, 5 hits, and no errors. Houston, 1 run, 5 hits, and 1 error.
Well, in the first game here today, the Mets had a 5-run lead, and they seemed to be cruising along, and all of a sudden it became a real seat swimmer. In the seventh inning, Houston picked up one run. That made the score 6-2. They got three more in the eighth inning to make it 6-5, and they have the bases loaded. When Larry Menard came in and struck out Dave Roberts to nip the threat, the Mets picked up an insurance run in the last of the eighth inning and won the ball game 7-5. That's Riley Smith hitting against right-hander Claude Raymond. Foul ball back toward our radio and TV booths and out of play. Claude Raymond has won 4 and lost 4 this year. Good earned run average of 3.09. And he hit him off the fist, a pop-up down the first baseline. It's a foul ground. Bond is there and has it for the out. One away and nobody on, and a real favorite in a short time in New York, Roy McMillan. Roy has become one of the most popular of all the New York Mets with his slick fielding. Roy has led the National League. The National League shortstops and fielding on 4 occasions. Fastball, letter high, strike 1 call. Breaking ball hit on the ground towards short, snagged by Casco going to his left side, and he throws to first in by 2 down. That brings up Jack Fisher. Jack trying to join Al Jackson with a 10th victory in the nightcap of the doubleheader. Al won number 10 in the first game. Fastball, strike call. Alvin has really turned the year around. He hit a mid-season slump. Things just wouldn't go right for him, but he showed he's as game as they can. He ratted himself, and he's won 7 of his last 10 decisions. 1 ball and 1 strike. It can get mighty depressing when you go into a slump. Regardless of what you try or what you do, nothing seems to work. High foul ball hit back upstairs and out of play. And the pitchers go into their slumps just like the hitters go into theirs. Sometimes a pitcher will go into a slump the way a hitter, when he's hitting the ball real good but right at somebody. Sometimes a pitcher goes into a string of games where he pitches well, and his teammates can't score for him. Foul ball off to the right. Or it'll be the kind of slump where your control gets off, you lose that rhythm, and nothing just seems to quite work for you. Two delivery. Foul ball back to the screen off Fisher's bat in the count. 1 ball and 2 strikes. Claude Raymond, the third Houston pitcher. Don Larson worked a luckless first 3 innings. Danny Coombs was impressive in 2. Mets got 5 runs off Big Don, but the first came in on a pass ball, and the fourth and fifth came in on a line drive misplayed in the outfield. Two pitch, line drive over second into center field, a base hit by Jack Fisher. Well, Jack has a hit off Claude Raymond. Right here we pause for station identification. This is the New York Mets Baseball Network.
You're tuned to 810 on your dial, WGY and WGFM, the voice of the Mets in the Northeast.
Bob Bob Murphy with Lindsey Nelson and Ralph Kanter. The Mets are hitting in their half of the sixth inning and leading 5-1 after winning the first game 7-5. Rob Kneale with 2-for-3 stepping in against Ray Moore. Pitch thrown by Ramon is inside, and Rod had to lean away. One ball and no strikes. A base hit by Fisher, his 11th of the year. Tracy Stallard, Jack Fisher, and Al Jackson have been the best hitting among the Mets pitchers this year. Jack has driven 8 runs in. Breaking ball, a swing and a miss. One ball, one strike. Now the 1-1 delivery. Ground ball hammered to short. Taken by Eddie Casco. He flips to Nellie Fox to force Fisher and retire the side. No runs, one hit, no errors, one left on. Now at the end of six, the score, the New York Mets 5 and the Houston Colt 45s 1. Now in just a moment, Lindsey Nelson will be joining you to detail all the remaining action. Right now, though, music to twist all the way to the refrigerator by.
Stadium, Mr. and Mrs. Charles Shipman Payson are coming up the aisle just now, and it's been quite a day for them. No robbery, won the $100,000 Suburban Handicap at Aqueduct today, the feature race upsetting Kelso. And that, of course, is Mrs. Payson's horse, and the New York Mets defeated the Colt 45s in the first game of this doubleheader 7-5, and they're leading in this one by a score of 5-1. Right now, in the top of the seventh, Joe Gaines is coming up for the Houston Colt 45. Struck out swinging and hit into a fourth play. Washington Senators have won the second game from the Chicago White Sox 6-2. Here's a swing and a one-hopper taken by Kneale to the left to second. Throws on in time and Gaines is out on one pitch. Neat fielding play by Rod Kneale. It'll bring up Terrell Hardy. At Washington, the Senators shut out the White Sox 3-0 in the first game. Benny Daniels beating Ray Herbert, and the Senators won the second one 6-2. Stenhouse beating Talbot. So the Washington Senators swept the doubleheader from the Chicago White Sox. Pitch to Carroll Hardy's in there for a called strike. One man out, nobody on base here in the top half of the seventh inning. Here's a swing and a foul ball, off and out of play. A backlash, he hit it the second time and went over into the Mets dugout. So the count is 2 strikes now to Carroll Hardy. Just went on one hop to Charlie Smith at third. Straightens up and throws on, and there are 2 men out. Now it'll be catcher John Hoffman, who has grounded out and struck out so far in this game. And a miss. Strike one. Hoffman is a left-hand batter. Up here with 2 men out and nobody on base. Mets leading by a score of 5-1. And the pitch is low for ball. Jack Fisher looks in for a sign from Jesse Gander. And here's a pitch inside low for a ball. It's 2-1. One, he counts to Hoffman. Swing and a miss. 2-2. We have a correction on the race information we gave you a moment ago. No robbery owned by Mrs. Payson ran in the race before the feature and was the winner. Kelso won the $100,000 Suburban Handicap at Aqueduct. Kelso was the winner. No robbery ran in the race before. Here's a pitch hung on and missed. Strike three. And Jack Fisher chalks up his seventh strikeout. Sides out in order. No runs, no hits, no errors, none left. The score at the end of 6.5 innings is the Mets 5 and the Colts 45-1. Well, you know, Met fans are standing for the home half of the seventh here at Shea Stadium. In case you've ever wondered about who invented the seventh inning stretch, it's generally agreed that the custom originated with President William Howard Taft. Taft was a great baseball fan, and one day during the game at Pittsburgh, he stood up to stretch his legs a little. And the fans, thinking the president was about to leave, stood in respect. Soon the crowd realized that the president was only stretching, and the idea of rising in the home half of the seventh became a baseball tradition. Another baseball tradition, one that goes back a long way, is a refreshing glass of beer or two while you're enjoying the game. And all along the Rheingold beach, when people think of beer, they think of Rheingold Extra Dry. Rheingold is as good to your taste as it is to your thirst, Rheingold after Rheingold. And there's no time like the present to stretch for a refreshing Rheingold Extra Dry. We're going to the bottom half of the seventh inning of this, the second game of the doubleheader, and Ed Cranepool is up for the Mets. He has been up three times and had one hit in this game. Bud Raymond working on the mound for the Houston Colts 45. John Larson started and is the pitcher of record. Raymond with the pitch and it's swung out hit on the ground. He's the first, taken by Walter Bond, underhand to Raymond, and he's out at first. Cranepool grounding out one away. And Joe Christopher is the batter. He has walked, fouled out, and hit into a fourth play so far in this game. Right now, Joe Christopher has a season's batting average of .307. The Mets have 5 runs on 6 hits in this game, and the Colts 45s have 1 run on 5 hits. The Mets won the first game of today's doubleheader by a score of 7-5. With the pitch and it's low for ball. 1-0. George Altman is waiting on deck. Here's a swing and a miss. It's 1-1. Let's send to get a sign from catcher, John Bateman. And the 1-1 pitch. Swung on and fouled off to the right side, way down the corner, out of play. It's 1-2. The Houston Colts 45s, of course, began the year with 3 outstanding youngsters that are now in the minor leagues and for whom they have great hope next year. Rusty Staub, the first baseman. John Bateman, a catcher, and Jim Wynn, an infielder, outfielder. Here's a pitch swung on and missed. Christopher is a strikeout victim. Raymond's first strikeout. 2 away, nobody on base, and George Altman is coming up now. And a ground single up the middle and later score in the first inning. Had a sacrifice slide, a right field drive, and a run in the third, and flat out to center field in the fifth. Pitch is outside for a ball. 1-0. Raymond again works with no windup and the pitch hit on the ground and it is off the glove. A long run at first base and out in the right field and Altman is on. A hard hit ground ball and Waldemar was trying to backhand it. He scored as a base hit for Altman. his second of this game, and his fourth of the day. With two men out and a runner at first, Jim Hickman is the batter. He singled right to drive and run the first inning. He walked and later scored in the third and lined out to center field in the fifth. Jesse Gonder waiting on deck. The runner goes. Here's a swing and a miss. Hoffman's throw is high, and Hoffman slides in safely at second base. Nellie Fox came over to take the throw that was high. It's a stolen base for George Altman. His third stolen base of the season. Here's the Mets runner in scoring position at second base with two men out. A count of strike one to Jim Hickman. The Mets lead 5-1. Roy Hollins up and set. Pitch is low for ball. It's 1-1. We're in the bottom half of the seventh inning. Hickman's in and waiting once again. Raymond checks the runner at second. Altman takes his lead there. And the pitch swung on and landed to left for a base hit. Altman's getting a green light at third. He rounds third. He's coming on. There'll be no play on him. He's still standing up. Hickman holds it first for the line shot in the left and a run batted in. And the Mets lead by a score of 6-1. Jesse Gonder is coming up now with two men out and a runner at first. Sir, you can readily see the great advantage of the extra base taken by George Altman as he stole it, moving into scoring position at second so that he could score from second on the base hit by Jim Hickman. Altman is, or rather, Gonder is a left-hand batter. Listen to the crowd. Here's a pitch on the outside corner for a call, strike one. Jesse Gonder is hitting .281 for the season thus far. Raymond checks the runner at first. Bonds holding against him, and here's the pitch. Swung on and chopped off, foul out of play. Two strike count. And a runner at first. Just loosening up down in the Met bullpen right now, Galen Sisco and Carl Willie. Sisco will be opening up for the Mets against the Milwaukee Braves. Here is a pitch swung on and fouled out to the left side out of play. Check swing. But Carl Willie, who has been suffering from a sore arm, has worked himself back into shape and is available these days. Charlie Smith waiting on deck here with two men out and a two-strike count to Gonder. Raymond with the pitch. Swung on and this struck him out. Second strikeout for Raymond. And the Mets got a run on two hits, no errors, and one left. And the score at the end of seven full innings is the Mets 6 and the Colts 45-1. There's a lot of baseball that has been played and that is being played and that will be played in the major leagues today. And to bring us up to date on that, here's Ralph Kiner.
Philadelphia Phillies split a doubleheader today with the Dodgers. They won the first game 5-1 behind Dennis Bennett. They lost the second game 3-1 as Rickard, called up for the minors, was the winning pitcher. San Francisco playing two. They won the first game over Pittsburgh 6-4 behind Gaylord Perry. Mays Cepeda and Kameni home runs in that ballgame. Mays is 40th, Cepeda is 28th. In the second ballgame, the Giants lead after seven innings, 7-6. Mays also home run his 41st in the fourth inning with two men on base. Now pitching for the Pirates, Tommy Smith, Bob Bolin pitching for San Francisco. Milwaukee outlasted Chicago 10-9 in the first ballgame as Keefe and I picked up the win. In the second ballgame, Milwaukee 6, Chicago 4 after 4. Hefton Elston now, the opposing pitchers. Williams, Menke, who had two home runs, and Burton, And Burton, correction, had two home runs in that first ball game. In the second game, Williams hit his 31st, and Joe Torre also had a home run. St. Louis defeated Cincinnati 3-2 in the first ball game of their doubleheader. Gibson, the winning pitcher. In the second game, it's 1 for St. Louis and 2 for Cincinnati after 4. 2-1, Cincinnati leads. Satura scoring against Taylor. Brock a homer in the first with no one on. That's the National League, and now once again, here is Lindsay.
All right, Ralph, and here's Bob Lilly's up to bat. Claude Ravone takes the first pitch low for a ball. Lilly's batting for Ramon as the Colt 45's trio by a margin of 5 runs. So they go to the bench here in the top half of the 8th. Fisher's pitch is thrown on line into left field for a leadoff base hit. Harmon is up with it, plays it back in, and Lilly's turns and holds with a pinch single to left. It'll bring up Eddie Casco. In the American League today, the New York Yankees defeated the Minnesota Twins in 11 innings by a score of 5-4 in the morning game of a morning night doubleheader. Al Renneth got the win, and Al Worthington took the loss. Homers by Kubek and Maris for the Yankees, and Bob Allison for the Minnesota Twins. Casco waits for the pitch, gets low and away for ball one. The Washington Senators swept both ends of a doubleheader from the Chicago White Sox, 3-0 and 6-2. Daniels the winner in the first game, Herbert the loser, Stenhouse the winner in the second, and Talbot the loser. In a single game, the Cleveland Indians defeated the Detroit Tigers 7-2. Sam McDowell the winner and McLean the loser. Here's a pitch running down the third baseline. A good bunt on the grass. There'll be no play on Casco. Moving on to second is Bob Lilly's. And the Colt 45s quickly have runners at first and second. Nobody out. And Nellie Fox coming up. Good bunt by Casco. Fox is nothing for three in this game. The Baltimore Orioles in the first game of a doubleheader defeated the Kansas City A's 6-1. Wally Bunker getting his 15th win. He's 19 years old. And Orlando Pena took the loss. Nelson Matthews had a home run for Kansas City, and Drew Powell had his 32nd for the Baltimore Orioles. Nellie Fox steps back out of the batter's box for a moment. In the second game of that doubleheader at Kansas City, the Orioles did not score in the top half of the first. At the end of a half inning, Baltimore nothing, Kansas City coming up. McNally against Meyer, and Boston is at Los Angeles for a twilight doubleheader against the Angels. Here is the pitch to Fox. It's low for a ball. Here at Shea Stadium in New York, the Mets defeated the Houston Colt 45s by a score of 7-5 in the first game of the doubleheader. And the Mets are leading by a score of 6-1 in this, the second game. The pitch to Fox, and it is inside low as Gondor has to move inside to grab the ball there. Double barrel action in the Mets bullpen. Left-hander Bill Hunter, right-hander Bill Wakefield. And with Ramon out of the ball game for the pinch hitter here, Jim Owens is up and throwing in the bullpen for the Houston Colt 45. 2-0 pitch to Fox is low. Goes out 3-0, and time is called now by Gondor as he goes out to the mound to have a word with pitcher Jack Fisher, and manager Casey Stengel comes bouncing out of the dugout as well, and he's on his way to the mound. It was in the top half of the 8th inning of the first game that the Colt 45s got to Al Jackson, and they got, before the inning was over, 3 runs to make it 6-5 in that game. And then the Mets got another one in the bottom of the 8th. And now the hand you hear for Casey Stengel as he comes back. Nellie Fox standing at home plate, leaning on the bat with a count of 3 balls and no strikes. There is nobody out for the Colt 45s, batting in the top of the 8th. Runners at first and second. This is a 3-0 delivery now, and it is fired in for a call strike. 3-1 to Nellie Fox. Choked way up on that bat. Ken Fisher off the touch position with the pitch, and it's low. He walked him, and the bases are loaded. That is the first walk issued by Fisher in the game. The bases are loaded with nobody out. And Al Spangler is coming up, but Casey Stengel's going back, and that means that Fisher's out of the ballgame. When Casey crosses that line, Fisher's out, and he is crossed it, and so that'll be all for Fisher, as it is mandatory that the pitcher be removed when the pitcher makes the second, the manager makes the second trip to the mound in one inning. Left-hand batter Al Spangler is due up. Bases loaded. Nobody out. Fisher has pitched 7 innings and faced 3 men here in the 8th, and allowing 1 run on 7 hits, struck out 7 and walked 1. And it is Bill Hunter coming in now. Bill Hunter, the left-hander, is being brought on here. Bill Hunter worked in the first game to only one man. He pitched to Walter Bond and walked him and was forthwith removed. So he's coming in here, bases loaded, nobody out, to work the left-hand batter, Al Spangler. At Kansas City, the first right here, the hand you hear from Jack Fisher, who is coming off the mound, walking all over toward the Met dugout, and he's getting quite an ovation from the fans. Leaving the game, the Mets have a 6-1 lead. At Kansas City, Jim Gentile has hit a 3-run homer for the A's in the bottom half of the first inning to lead the Baltimore Orioles now 3-0 in the second game. McNally started for Baltimore, Dave Vigneault in the first inning, and Meyer is going for Kansas City. Double barrel action continues in the Met bullpen. Dennis Rybatt and Ron Locke throwing in the Met bullpen. Bob Lillis is at third base. Eddie Casco is at second. Nelson Fox is at first. As the Colt 45s have duplicated, their uprising of the first game when they came on in the top half of the eighth, they haven't duplicated it as far as productivity is concerned, but they have made their big move here in the eighth by loading the bases with nobody out. Mets lead 6-1. When the Colt 45 started their rally in the second game, the Mets were leading 6-2. And the Mets eventually won that one 7-5. Al Spangler fouled out, walk, and lined a single to center field. Left-hander Bill Hunter looks in to get a sign, has it, dips into the windup. Runners lead at first, second, and third, and the pitch is low for a ball. Pops out of the glove of Gondra right in front of him. There is no advance, and it's ball one. Walter Bond is waiting on deck. This big fella is 2-for-3. He had 2 hits in the first game, including a home run. Hunter is working straight away. Looks in to get a sign from Jesse Gondra. As it now dips into the windup. And the 1-0 delivery. Swung on and fouled back. It's out of play. And the count is leveled at 1-1 now to Al Spangler, batting number 3 in manager Harry Kraft's Houston batting order. Spangler takes a look down at Coach Lumen Harris on the lines at third, the Colt 45. Now he's in and waiting. Hunter with a 1-1 delivery. Swung on and missed. It's 1-2. Bill Hunter on the rubber, looking in. Running a wreck now. Leans way over to get the sign, bending from the waist. Dipson the windup, and here is the 1-2 delivery. Sidearm and low, just low, and it's 2-2. There is nobody out for Houston. Batting here in the top half of the eighth inning with the bases loaded. Again, Hunter with the 2-2 pitch. Swung on, hit on the ground. Deep to first. Taken by Cranefield. Drops the ball. Picks it up. Goes to the bag for the out. One run scored as Cranefield was about to try the 3-6-3 double play. Dropped the ball. There is no error charge since he gets the put out. And one run scores as Bob Lillis crosses the plate. It is now the Mets 6, the Colt 45-2. One away, and Walter Bond coming up. He represents potential. No, he does not, because Spangler was out at first base. Sorry to say he represented potential tying run at the plate, but he does not. Run batted in for Spangler as he went out to first base unassisted. Runner second and third, and here is the pitch. Swung on and fouled off. He's down on one knee with a big cut. Let's keep the infield back, of course, willing to give up a run for the put out here. In Kansas City, the A's got a total of 4 runs in the bottom half of the first inning, and at the end of an inning, it is Baltimore nothing to Kansas City A's 4. Right here is the Mets 6, and the Colt 45-2. Man exercised himself a little bit there now. After having twisted all the way around and come down on one knee and taking a cut on that last pitch. Hunter was brought into the ballgame specifically to pitch to Bond in the first game, and he walked him. Now Hunter with the pitch, swung on and fouled off, and this one's off the angle of plate umpire Frank Sicori. Frank Sicori hobbled off to one side, and now he is examining his right foot and ankle. And Dahl, while Sicori walked around, hobbling a little. And the thing about it is that when a ball player is struck on the ankle, chances are he gets sympathy from the crowd, and when the umpire is struck on the ankle, he gets sympathy from nobody, with the possible exception of other umpires. And right now, the three other umpires are converging on home plate, and Sicori waves them back, says he's all right. Sicori hit on the ankle by the foul ball off the bat of Walter Bond. And it's low for a ball. 1-2 to Walter Bond with one man out. Runners at second and third. Yeah, Hunter gets low into the windup. And the 1-2 pitch is low and away. So it's 2-2 now. Bob Astromani is on deck. And there's a note on the message board pointing out that Bob Astromani is a graduate of Lafayette High School in Brooklyn, which also produced Dodger pitching star Sandy Koufax. Matt Bond steps back out of the batter's box for a moment, reaches down, gets a handful of dirt, taps his spikes, and comes back in. Bill Hunter looks for the sign. Here's a 2-2 pitch. And it is a ground ball up the middle, run through for a base hit. One run scores. Rounding third and coming home is Fox, and two runs score. A ground single back through the box, out into center field, scoring two runs. And it is now the Mets 6 and the Colt 45's 4, and Bob Astromonte comes up, representing potential tying run after play. Still only one man out. In the top half of the eighth inning of the first game, the Colt 45 has got three runs, and now they have managed three in the top half of the eighth inning of this, the second game. And here checks Walter Bond at first base. Here's the pitch to Astromonte, and it is a foul ball off the ankle of Jesse Gander this time, and Jesse is hobbling up the line. Well, the foul balls of Nick Walter Bond, Frank Sicori, Jesse Gander, and Casey Stengel coming to the mound. Could be that Casey will go for a right-hand pitcher to face Astromonte here. Casey has arrived at the mound now and is talking to Bill Hunter. The sign hasn't gone down to the bullpen as yet. And now it does go for a right-hander. So that'll be all for Bill Hunter. Rybat is the right-hander he's had warming up down there. Dennis Rybat. Hunter worked a third of an inning. He faced two men, as a matter of fact. Neither of the runs scored on the walk. The Walter Bond single was charged against him. Dennis Rybak coming on now. This will be his seventh game appearance. He has won one and lost two. Came to the Mets from the Milwaukee Braves organization. He was at Denver, Pacific Coast League. And as soon as Rabban marches into the bullpen, we'll march out for station identification. This is the New York Mets Baseball Network.
Your tune to 810 on your dial, WGY, WGFM, the voice of the Mets in the Northeast.
This is Lindsey Nelson with Ralph Kiner and Bob Murphy at Shea Stadium in New York. Well, the Colt 45s have come on here in the top half of the eighth inning to score three runs and make this, at the moment, a 6-4 ball game. The Mets have a two-run lead. And the count to Astromonte is strike one. And at this point, a pitching change has been made. Dennis Rybak coming on. Colt 45 got their first run in the top half of the sixth inning. And they have added three here to make it 6-4. 22-year-old Dennis Rybak taking his warm-up pitches right now. Umpire Frank Sicori indicates he has one more. And that's it. So Astromonte steps in. One man out. Walter Bond is the runner at first. Hits are all even in this game at 8 each. Rabat with the pitch swung on and looped out back a second. Keneal's digging out and he's there. And Keneal makes the catch and Bond hustles back to first base. No advance, two away. Now Joe Gaines is the batter. He's a right-hand hitting outfielder. Struck out swinging, hit into a fourth play, and grounded out second to first. Rabban checks the runner. Crane's rule holds against him. Here's the pitch that's low for ball. In the first game, it was Larry Bernard who finally came on to put out the fire of the eighth inning rally after Hunter and Wakefield had been in before him. Here is the pitch, swung on and fouled out to the right side and out of play. 1-1. And this time, manager Casey Stengel is hoping that young Dennis Rybak can do the job. Rabat, the young fellow, has a lot of nervous energy. Now the pitch. Breaking ball hit on the ground and out through the hole in the left field for a base hit. Bond holds it second. Altman up with the ball, plays it back in, and it is a ground single to left for Joe Gaines. With runners at first and second, two men out, that'll bring up Carroll Hardy. McMillan moves swiftly to his right, trying to get through that one and could not. Carroll Hardy has fouled out to third base, grounded out second to first, and grounded out third to first. Runners now at first and second with two men out. By that set and the pitch. Breaking ball, it's top foul, back at third. And on down the line, out of play. Kroll and Larry Bernard throwing now in the Mets bullpen. Here's a breaking ball, just missed inside. 1-1 to Carroll Hardy. Three runs in this inning for the Houston Colt 45. Rabat looks around the outfield, working on the baseball for a moment. Waller Bond at second base, Joe Gaines at first base.
1-1 pitch. And it's in for a call, strike two. Umpire Frank Sicori examines the ball, leaves it in play. Darrell Hardy settles himself carefully back into the batter's box. Rabban checks and deals, and pitches it on the ground to the right side. Charged by Caneal, left with the plate on in time, and they're out of the inning. Then it's half out of the eighth inning. The Houston Colts 45 picked up three runs on four hits, no errors and two left, and the score at the end of seven and a half innings is the Mets 6 and the Colts 45 4. You know, a really smart hitter tries to look over pitches till he gets the one that's right for him. And the same thing goes for filter cigarettes. Look them all over and you'll hit on Viceroy, because Viceroy is scientifically made to taste the way you'd like a filter cigarette to taste. Not too strong, like some filter brands that taste as if they didn't have a filter, and not too light, like others. You know the kind, you keep smoking one after another, trying to satisfy your taste. But Viceroy, now that's a different story. Viceroy is not too strong, not too light. Viceroy has got the deep weave filter for the taste that's right. So fans, if you haven't already tried Viceroy, the time to do it is the very next time you buy cigarettes. Pick up that pack of Viceroy and see if you don't agree. Viceroy is not too strong, not too light. Viceroy has got the taste that's right. For the Houston Colts 45, Jim Owens is coming in now. Jim Owens is the pitcher. And Bob Lilith is staying in the ballgame at third base. So it will be Owens batting fifth if you're keeping a scorecard, and Lilith, of course, bats ninth. Lord Roy Moore worked two innings in which he gave up one run on three hits. He struck out two and he walked none. Jim Owens worked an inning in the first game in which he allowed a run on a hit. He walked two. Here's a swing and a foul ball back in out of play. Charlie Smith leading off for the Mets here in the bottom half of the eighth inning. Charlie is nothing for three so far today in this game. Jim Owens with a pitch that is high for a ball. 1-1. The Mets 6 and the Houston Colts 45 4. Here's a swing and a miss at a high, hard one. It's 1-2. Owens looking to John Hoffman as the sign. The 1-2 delivery is a breaking ball that misses high, and it's 2-2. Roy McMillan waits on deck for the New York Mets. Owens 2-2 delivery, swung on and missed, struck him out, and Jim Owens picks up a strikeout. One away, nobody on base. Roy McMillan's the batter. Lined to center, walked and grounded out short to first. Dennis Rabat swinging about on deck now, wearing the jacket. Roy McMillan has something in his eye. He backs out for a moment. Now he's all right. Pitch is high for a ball. 1-0. Defensively, the Colt 45s play Roy McMillan straight away. Here's a swing and a foul ball to the right side, and out of play. 1-1. McMillan had a home run in the first game that hit on top of the left field fence. Right field, digging in, is Joe Gaines. He's still coming, and he makes the catch. Joe Gaines lost his cap in pursuit, but made the catch, and there are two men out. Now pitcher Dennis Rybatt up for the Mets here in the bottom half of the eighth inning. Why don't you take time out to enjoy Viceroy, because Viceroy's got the deep weave filter for the taste that's right. That's a foul ball to the right side and out of play. Strike one to Rybatt. Dennis has been up 12 times and had one hit since coming to the Mets. So that is his major league record. That's low for a ball. It's 1-1. The Mets are leading here by a score of 6-4 after having won the first game of today's doubleheader, 7-5. Here's a pitch in for a called strike. 1-2 to Dennis Rybatt. This is a 1-2 delivery. Swung on and hit in the air to center field. Carroll Hardy hangs right there and puts it away. So the crowd's out in order. Jim Owen cuts them down 1-2-3. No runs, no hits, no errors, none left. And the score, the end of eight full innings, is the Mets 6 and the Colt 45-4. On Wednesday night, Galen Sisco will be the pitcher for the New York Mets, and Tony Kroniger will open the two-game set for the Milwaukee Braves, who are, of course, managed by Bobby Bregan. And it will be just a two-game set, Wednesday night and Thursday afternoon. There will be no telecast of the Thursday afternoon game. Radio coverage only of that one. Tickets are now on sale, of course, for those games or for any future games of the New York Mets here at Shea Stadium this season. And for the Colt 45s now, coming up in the top of the ninth, Dave Roberts comes out preparatory to batting for catcher John Hoffman. Dave Roberts is on deck. Dennis Rybatt. Trying to save this one for Jack Fisher. The pitcher of record for the Colt 45 is Don Larson, who started. Roberts is a left-hand batter. He appeared in the first game as a pinch hitter and was called out on strike. Dennis Rybatt pumps and pitches, and it's a breaking ball low for ball one. The Mets 6 and the Colt 45s 4. Here's a swing and a high pop to short left. McMillan is retreating, still backfending. Altman is there, and Altman calls him off and one hands the ball just over the head of a kneeling Roy McMillan. At the last moment, Altman called him off, and as McMillan dropped down to his knee to get out of the way, Altman one-handed the ball just over the top of the head of Roy McMillan. So there's one away, and Bob Lillis is up.
Lillis appeared as a pinch hitter in the eighth inning, singled and stayed in the ballgame. Here is a pitch inside for a ball. We're on the top of the ninth with one man out. Rybats humps and pitches, and it's low and away. Two balls and no strikes. Manager Harry Kraft, of course, made the change of removing Ostomati and leaving Lillis in for the specific purpose of having Lillis hit here in this inning and not having to let the pitcher or a pinch hitter hit in the top of the ninth. The 2-0 delivery is fired in for a called strike. It's 2-1. Rybat reading the side. Now the 2-1 offering. Swung on an underground foul back at third. It's a 2-2 count now. Rybat works on the new ball. Lillis waiting, and the 2-2 pitch. Swung on and loops into left, hanging up there, and Altman's there, and he makes the catch. Two men out and nobody on base. When Edwin left the plate, it looked as though it might loop in, but it stayed up, and Altman moved up to make the catch. Eddie Casco coming up now. He is 2-for-4, lined a single to left in the sixth inning, and bunted his way on with a perfect bunt in the eighth inning. Casco has had 4 hits today. He's up here with nobody on base and 2 men out. And his drive-out pitch is fired right in for a called strike 1. The Mets 6, Houston 4. Drive-out trying to save this one for Jack Fisher. And the pitch is low and away for a ball. It's 1-1. Nellie Fox is waiting on deck. This is a 1-1 pitch. Swung on and fouled up. He jammed him a little, and Casco got it around on the handle and hit it on the ground over near the Houston dugout. 1-2 now. Dennis Rybat with a 1-2 pitch. Low and away in the dirt, dug out by Gunder. It's 2-2. Rybat walks around behind the rubber now, looks around the outfield, and he is working on the ball. Now, back and ready for the 2-2 delivery, and it is swung on and fouled back out of play. Again, he jammed him in there, and he had it off the handle, foul back upstairs. Count hold 2-2. This is a 2-2 pitch. Swung on and hit in the air to right. Christopher's coming out. Can he get it? He can't. It drops in for a base hit. He won half the ball, played it back in, and Jack goes on with a single to right. That brings up Nellie Fox with 2 men out and a runner at first. That's the second hit off Rybat. A total of 10 for the Colt 45s in the game. The Mets have 6 runs on 8 hits, and the Colt 45s 4 runs on 10 hits. Fox has grounded out to first base, slide to left, slide to right, and walked so far. Rybat will have to work off the stretch here. Cranefield behind the runner at first, and the pitch hit on the ground to first base. Cranefield has it. He makes the play, and he does, and the game is over. Cranefield unassisted at first base, and the Mets have swept the doubleheader. Jack Fisher gets credit for the victory. He has won his 10th of this year. So Jackson has won 10, and Fisher has won 10. In the top half of the ninth inning here, no runs on one hit, no errors, and one left. We'll be back in a moment with a final summary and totals. Right now, the final score of this game, the Mets 6 and the Colts 45-4. Let's listen to the sound of the Rheingold beat. Taken both ends of the doubleheader from the Houston Colts 45 by scores of 7-5 and 6-4. For the New York Mets in the second game, Jack Fisher gets credit for the win, his 10th of this season, and Jack has thus become the second right-hander in New York Mets history to achieve 10 wins in a season. Roger Craig did it in 1962, and so now Jack Fisher has tied Craig's former mark of winning 10. The winningest Mets pitcher of all time, of course, is Al Jackson, who won 13 last year. And Jackson was the winning pitcher in the first game today as he got his 10th win of the season also. In the first game, the Mets were out in front to an early lead, and Roy McMillan had a home run. But then in the eighth inning, the Colt 45s came on to get three runs and make it a 6-5 ballgame, so that the Mets then added one run in the bottom of the eighth and won it by a score of 7-5. Jackson got the win, although Hunter pitched to one man and Wakefield pitched two, and then Larry Bernard came in to put out the fire and save the ball game in the first game of today's doubleheader. And in the second game, the New York Mets again were out in front early as they picked up two runs in the first inning. They added three more in the bottom of the third when an error was committed by Carroll Hardy in center on a drive by Jesse Gandy, and the Mets quickly had five runs. The Colt 45 did not get a run until the sixth inning off Jack Fisher. And meanwhile, the Mets added another in the seventh, but then the Colt 45s came on to get three runs in the eighth inning as Fisher was relieved in the ballgame, first by Hunter and then by Dennis Rybatt. Rybatt worked the last inning in two-thirds, allowing no runs and only two hits. Final totals in the second game for the Mets, six runs on eight hits and no errors and six left. For the Colt 45s, four runs on 10 hits, one error, and seven left. Fisher now has won 10 and lost 16. Don Larson started and took the loss. He has won three and lost seven. So the New York Mets have taken six of their last seven games from the Houston Colt 45s. They have won eight of their last 11 from the Colt 45s in the season series right now. The Mets have won nine. The Houston Colt 45s have won six. The Mets are assured of at least an even split in the total series season series since they have three games yet to play against the Colt 45s in Houston. For the Mets, it was victory 47 and 48 of this season. And that just about wraps up another New York Mets doubleheader brought to you by Rheingold Extra Dry and Viceroy Cigarettes. Rheingold is as good to your taste as it is to your thirst because it's brewed extra dry. Be sure you have plenty of Rheingold Extra Dry on ice. It's the favorite beer of millions all along the Rheingold beat. Smoother, crisper, livelier, Rheingold after Rheingold. Now this is Lindsay Nelson saying so long for Bob Murphy, Ralph Kiner, and our producer Joe Gallagher, the brewers of Rheingold Extra Dry and the makers of Viceroy cigarettes. Viceroy, scientifically made to taste the way you'd like a filter cigarette to taste. Not too strong, not too light. Viceroy's got the deep weave filter for the taste that's right. The Mets have swept the doubleheader from the Houston Colt 45s, winning 7-5 and 6-4. So long, everybody. This is the New York Mets Baseball Network.
810 on your dial, WGY, WGFM, Schenectady.
It's furnace cleaning time, and there's no need to wait. This is Bob Earle with another home heating idea from your local Agway Petroleum Plant, formerly GLF. They'll send a trained Agway heating expert to your home right now. No waiting, no worry. He'll clean your heating system as it's never been cleaned before. The Agway man uses an exclusive new liquid cleaner to do the job right, and his expert work can save you money. Look for your Agway or GLF petroleum plant in the white pages of the phone book. One call and Agway will be on the way.
In Fort Plain, phone Agway Petroleum at 42463.